Hey Alpha Nation, what's up? It's Todd Lamb here with an Alpha Nation podcast for you guys. And today I have a very special guest, a guy that has mentored me through the online business world since about 2008 when I first found him through a program called Online Super Profits back in the day. Craig Ballantyne, it is my honor to have you on this show today.
Oh, thanks so much, Todd. That's an awesome introduction. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. If you don't mind, I just wouldn't mind taking the guys through a bit of your bio. Guys will be interested in this.
Yeah, for sure. I can walk them through. I was born in Stratford, Ontario. No, I'll start when I was 25 years old. I got my big break when I was 25. I started writing for Men's Health magazine, and then I created this program called Turbulence Training, which is where I spent the next decade in the fitness industry. And then, you know, you and I met in about 2008 when I started showing other fitness experts how to share their message with the world. And that's how we got to this point with all these great listeners on our call today, because you took action like a champion. You know, you've been taking action in so many aspects of life, you know, from in the police world through into this training world. And so that's what I did for a long time. Then I wrote a book called The Perfect Day Formula, and I've switched now to helping people get more done, make more money, still get home on time for dinner, and really, really have an amazing work-life balance, I guess you would say, but really having that dominating life.
Yeah, that it's a very powerful message that you deliver. And I think what's important to point out to guys listening to this interview is that you are actually considered the world's most disciplined man, and that's saying something coming from my experience both in the military and the police world. But you outpace most guys in terms of your work productivity, your commitment to health and fitness, your commitment to other people. It's very, very impressive. And you've done that through, you know, your five pillars of success. You've overcome some challenges in your own life, which I want to dive into a bit further here. But right out of the gate, I want to punch the guys right in the face with some wicked knowledge. So tell us something about how guys can improve their life using your perfect day formula.
Sure. So, you know, people do call me the world's most disciplined man, mostly people that have never been in the military. So, you know, the guys that are in the military listening to this, let's not challenge me too hard on that. Maybe the world's most disciplined civilian or something. And the funny thing is, Todd, is that I became that way because I am so lazy. And I had to put those systems into place to overcome my laziness. And at the same time, I leveraged my laziness to get my productivity really high. Also, I do a lot of what's called introspection. And I'm sure most people can relate to this. But when you think about your day, when you make a connection between the cause and effect in your life, it's really easy to do this for other people. It's a little bit harder to do this for ourselves, as an aside. But when you do this, when you sit there and you think, you know, I was really productive today at 9 o'clock, and I've got that meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock, what can I do? Or, you know, that phone call, what can I do to get rid of that 9 o'clock meeting so that I can be really ruthless with my most productive time? And so I did that at a young age. Realized that I needed to protect my mornings. And when I was a personal trainer, I started getting rid of my clients who would train at that time of day. You know, I passed them off to other really good trainers, or if they left, you know, and moved out of town, I didn't replace them. And then that way I just became really productive because I found that time. And so it all comes back to your question there. What is the perfect day formula? How can everybody use it, whether they're a school teacher, a busy mom, someone who's training for a bodybuilding contest, or someone who wants to be a book author? And the answer is this: to make sure that you control your morning. That is one of the most important things in any area of your life, because we have the greatest control over our mornings. We control what time we get up. We control what we think about first thing, what we focus on, the mood that we start the day in. We control what we eat for breakfast. We control what, you know, what time we get to work, if we leave early, if we leave late. And so it's so important to get your day off to a good start, because it just leads to so much momentum over the course of the day, as I'm sure you have taught many people and you've experienced yourself, right?
No question about it. I am relentless with my time in the mornings, really as a result of the lessons that you've taught me in my own life to be able to do that, and what I've experienced about how You know, once you start to open an email or you start to let outside influences creep in, it can really change the trajectory of your day. And oftentimes you finish your day feeling very unsatisfied with what you've accomplished when you don't control that 2-3-4 hour window like you teach, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you actually don't end up with any accomplishment at the end of the day. You end up with a lot of activity, which is different than accomplishment. And so, listen, I've been there. I've had those 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock feelings where it's like, oh my gosh, I was so busy today, but what the heck did I actually get done? Yeah. And it's because we were in reactive mode. And Todd, this is a generalization, and all generalizations are bad, but I always like to say that there's two types of people in this world. There's reactive people that struggle. They just can't get their footing. They just can't get their speed and momentum in their life because, you know, they're always responding to email. They're waking up late. They're getting caught in traffic because they're not planning ahead. And then there's those proactive people who are successful in life. And, you know, going back to your time in, you know, in the police force and all that stuff, I mean, you guys had to be so proactive in planning for when you're doing something that is high risk and high reward. And so that's the same sort of approach we have to take with all of our lives. So many people, they put a lot of planning into their nutrition and their exercise once they get some information from experts like you. But then they don't carry that over to the other areas of their life, whether it's family or whether it's spiritual or whatever it is they want to get involved in, or writing a book or even their work. And all it is, I like to say, it's a champion mindset that a lot of us were champions when we were younger in a sport. And being a champion soccer player, football player, bodybuilder, whatever it is, all that stuff can just be transferred into real life, you know, becoming an amazing teacher, an amazing cop, an amazing banker, amazing anything, amazing family person, amazing dad. You just have to have that champion mindset transferred over, because then it comes down to planning and preparation and coaching and all that stuff, which are actually my 5 pillars of success.
Right. Okay. Well, let me back you up there just before we dive into the 5 pillars. What I know that you have a very specific formula that you refer to as the 3C formula. Do you mind just kind of elaborating how that works?
Yeah, so I teased a little bit of it with the control your morning. And so the 3C formula I learned through studying Stoic philosophy. And Stoic philosophy is getting kind of popular with authors like Ryan Holiday and Tim Ferriss. They talk about it a lot. And it's really just a mindset, a worldview about how to live your life and make sure that you don't focus on the wrong things. And so I learned this quote from a guy named Epictetus who lived thousands of years ago. And he said, control what you can, cope with what you can't, and concentrate on what counts. And as soon as I read those words, Todd, I just felt like this rush of, well, not this release of stress from my shoulders. Like, oh, that is so true. That is the way to live life. You know, control what you can. You control your thoughts, words, and deeds. You don't control, you know, how another person feels. You don't control the rain or the sunshine. You know, out in Victoria, I'm sure you get quite a bit of rain. So you can't get mad at that. You just got to know, you know, I live in Victoria. I mean, we it's beautiful, but sometimes it's going to rain. And you just have to control your thoughts about that and cope with what you can't control, like the rain and traffic, and then concentrate on what counts, your mission in life, your family, you know, getting work done during the day so that you can have true freedom at night. And so I took that 3C formula and I applied it to the 3 parts of the day in my book. Control your morning, cope with the chaos of the world in the afternoon by being prepared for all those crazy obstacles that are going to come up in your way, and then concentrate on what counts at night. Be very structured and disciplined in your day so that you can have true freedom to be present with your family, health, and hobbies at night and not have to check the phone every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of formulation, I think, in and of itself would set so many people free. It's very powerful and liberating when you get down to the brass tacks of implementation and following, like you say, being disciplined around those 3 C's. But you also mentioned rules. So how does someone create rules for their life, and why is it that they'd even want to do that?
Right. Most people are thinking, this guy's crazy. Why on earth would I want more rules in my life? I've already got rules from the government, from my job, from all these things. And you know what? When we have rules imposed upon us, we rebel. You know, it's just like a peasant back in the day when the king is making the rules. Nobody likes people making the rules on them. But when we make rules for ourselves, it's really powerful. And I like to use this analogy of the iPhone that most people would probably have in their hand or in their pocket right now. If you think about an iPhone, it has an amazingly powerful operating system. And that operating system is built on rules. And if you build your own operating system for yourself, you can become so much more productive, effective. You know, you can use analogies like a bodybuilder. A bodybuilder has rules about training and diet, and that's how they become the best they can be. Martial artist has rules about training and performance, and that's how they become the best that they can be. And you can also just use the analogy, you know, the idea that, hey, when you go out on the road, there's traffic lights at every intersection. And that's the rules of the road. And if the rules of the road were not there, we would not get to our destination safely and effectively. It'd be chaos out there. And so when we put those rules on ourselves, we remove the chaos and we open up the opportunity for us to speed down the road safely and effectively and get to that destination and enjoy our true freedom. So there's five rules that I help people build. Would that be okay if I shared them now?
Yeah, by all means, please.
Okay, so there are five templated rules. If someone reads my book, The Perfect Day Formula, they'll see I have 12 rules, and you certainly don't need 12. And people would always say, well, how do I get my own? So I came up with these templated ones. The first one is to have a regular bedtime and a regular wake-up time. Now, it's not the most exciting rule in the world, but when I finally stopped resisting this advice, which I heard from my mentor for 7 years before I finally implemented it, it made all the difference in my all-day energy. I mean, I just went from being like an 8 out of 10 most days to a 10 or even, you know, an 11 out of 10 every day. Just, you know, I didn't have to, you know, I wasn't dragging my butt at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I wasn't having a hard time getting out of bed. It was just so powerful because human body wants routine. The human body wants to eat at the same time every day. It wants to get up at the same time and it wants to go to bed at the same time every day. So I don't care if you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, but just get up at that same time every day and you'll have more energy in your life. Of course, people are thinking, well, what about, you know, on the weekends and date night and, you know, work trips? I understand I have those probably 2 or 3 times a week. And you will stay up a little bit later, but try not to deviate too much from your wake-up time. You know, maybe have a nap the next day or go to bed earlier the next night. But if you get out of sync with that wake-up time, you're going to have a really hard time on Monday morning. You know, if you sleep in a couple hours on Sunday, you can't fall asleep Sunday night. You're dragging your butt Monday morning. 2 o'clock, you're falling asleep in your chair. It's not till Wednesday you're back on track. And if you're a high performer, listen, you got to be on the get-go from Monday morning. So that's the first rule. Just choose your regular bedtime. Choose your regular wake-up time. Stick to it as much as you can. The second rule is to focus on your number one priority in life for 15 minutes first thing in the morning. And I see a lot of this in entrepreneurs where they're doing all of these other things before they're focusing on what really matters in their business. And so, you know, I coach a lot of female entrepreneurs and they have this stress that they have to do meditation and gratitude journaling and yoga and, you know, interpretive dance. They have to do like 19 things before breakfast because they read that some other person does them. And then they wonder why they can't get ahead, why they can't write that book, why they can't do the sales calls, why they can't, you know, finally hit $100,000 in their gross revenue. And it's because they aren't focusing on their number one priority first thing. So if your number one priority is to, you know, write a book, get up and write a book, you know, write in your a chapter in 15 minutes, maybe you have 30 minutes, maybe you have 60 minutes. Just do your most important priority first thing in the morning. So if you're not a writer, if you're not a business person, but you're in $3,000 worth of credit card debt, if you got up every morning and sat down at your kitchen table, no electronics, no distractions, and you just sat there and thought, how can I get out of credit card debt? How can I increase my income? How can I decrease my expenses? If you did that 6 days a week, 15 minutes at a time, that's 72 hours in a year dedicated to your number one problem. And you can't tell me you're not going to overcome that debt problem faster this way than if you just tried to find time over the course of the day to figure that out. Absolutely. So just give me at least 15 minutes, preferably an hour, but at least 15 minutes focusing on your number one priority in life first thing in the morning. Third rule is to have a foundational health rule. And there's a million things we can do for our health, and you can get caught up in that game of, you know, the latest superfood and all this stuff. But what really matters are the simplest things. So if the best thing for your health is to exercise 30 minutes a week or 30 minutes a day in the gym, that's your health rule. If the best health rule for you is to follow a paleo diet, follow that. Everything else will fall into place when you have your one foundational health rule. The fourth rule is to make sure that you work on your number one wealth building activity every day. So if you are a writer, make sure that you write. If you are a salesperson, make sure that you aren't doing admin work all day and then not getting your sales calls in. If you are an investor, make sure that you're spending time studying financial reports. Make sure that you're doing your number one wealth building activity every single workday. And I'm the kind of guy who believes that working on Saturday morning is one of the most important things to accelerate your success. So really, it's 6 days a week. Right. And then finally, the fifth rule is your not-to-do rule. Because we can do all these good things, but we can also have one thing that holds us back in life and really, really can stop us from succeeding. And an extreme example, if you take a look at investing, you can have a person who makes the right investments, you know, 9 times out of 10, but then 1 time out of 10, they make a bad investment. They put too much money in, you know, they swing for the fences, you know, they put all their money in Bitcoin, and the next thing you know, it drops 33% and they, you know, are wiped out of their money or something like that. And it's because of that one bad mistake. And another extreme example there, Todd, is, you know, a recovering alcoholic. They can, you know, somebody's trying to stop drinking and get a life that's clean and sober. And the thing is, they do everything right 6.5 days a week. You know, they say the serenity prayer, they go and drink water and they go to the meetings. But then on Friday afternoon, someone sends them a text message and says, hey, meet me at the pub. Well, that one mistake is going to ruin all of the good things. So what I see in a lot of people is they check their email too much or Facebook too much, or they drink too much, too many glasses of wine at night. You know, some of these young guys, they have problems with online pornography. I mean, like, don't judge yourself. Just look and find that number one thing holding you back in life.
Right.
And then make a rule around that, that, you know, I don't do this. I don't drink wine from Sunday through Friday, Sunday through Thursday. I have a glass of wine or two on Friday and Saturday, but I don't drink wine during the week because I have to wake up with a clear head because I'm a high performer and I want to go and have a great day. So that's the type of mindset that we have around that do not do rule, which is the fifth rule, which is actually the most important of all, I think. So hopefully those were helpful to everybody. They can see how that would allow them to be more successful in life, because when you have those rules in place, it requires less discipline and willpower, which is a depletable resource, and you can apply that to other things over the course of your day. Was that helpful?
Very helpful. Very helpful. Yeah, it provides sort of anchors the concepts in something that's actionable for people. And so those rules, are those different from the five pillars of personal transformation that or personal success that you use, or are those the same things?
They are actually different. Yeah. So the five pillars, Todd, I learned these actually from my weight loss transformation clients, which is pretty darn cool. So I've ran these before and after transformation contests since 2007, you know, just before you and I met. Right. We're up to like 30 plus contests now. We try and run 3 a year. And what I realized was the people who lost the most weight, who stuck to the 12-week challenge and didn't drop out, they had these five things in place, and they're better planning and preparation than ever before. They're professional accountability, positive social support, meaningful incentive, and then the big deadline. And so I can walk through those in detail as to how they would apply to any area of life.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind giving us a couple of examples, I think people would benefit from that. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. So we'll use the weight loss example because it's really simple. And then I'll tell you, when I realized these, it was in 2008, but I realized I actually used them to overcome my anxiety attacks back in 2006. But it wasn't until years later that I realized I used them. Right. So if you think about this in terms of weight loss, well, you know, a lot of people wake up on January 1st and they say, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. But that's not a plan. That's just like some vague statement. They need to plan and prepare. Like, I'm going to use Todd's workouts 3 days a week. I'm going to follow the nutrition program that he recommends. I'm going to drink, you know, 3 liters of water a day, and I'm going to sleep 8 hours a day. Those are the things I control. That's my plan. I'm going to go and do it, and that's how I'm going to achieve my results. So you have to have better planning and preparation than ever before. That's the full title of pillar number one, better planning and preparation than ever before. Pillar number two is professional accountability. This is getting the coach in your life. And it's a little bit different than number three, positive social support, which are your cheerleaders in life. But your coach is going to give you two things that nobody else is going to give you: expert advice and professional accountability. No excuses. They're not going to let you away with anything. If you mess up, they're going to sit you down and say, okay, you messed up. what happened and how can we make sure this never happens again? So that's so valuable because the accountability aspect, you can get all the good information in the world, but if you don't have accountability on actually using it, you won't use it and you won't get anywhere. So it's very powerful. Then third, the positive social support. Those are the people that you're like cheerleaders, like the people on the side of the road as you run a marathon. They're just going to, you know, encourage you and pick you up when you're feeling down. They're not going to give you expert advice, but they're going to give you that support when you're having a bad day, which is important. So it's great to have those people as well. Just like when you go to a boot camp workout, people get more results when they do that or when they go to a gym where everybody else is getting results because they're surrounded by like-minded people, and that's really important. The fourth pillar is a meaningful incentive. And what I found was, you know, even though I was giving away money in these contests, people would still drop out. And I was really confused. And then I realized, you know, the people that won the contest, they weren't doing it for money. They were doing it so they had more energy for their kids, so that they'd be around when their kids graduated college or got married. That was a meaningful incentive from their heart and from their mind. And so whatever it is you want to change, you have to have a meaningful incentive. And then finally, just like the fifth rule is the most important one, the fifth pillar, the big deadline, is also the most important one. And that is because it helps spur us to action in three different ways. First, it gets us going. It gets us over that initial inertia because, you know, we're humans. We like to procrastinate. But if you have a deadline, you get moving. Second, when you're halfway through, you're like, oh, I feel like dropping out. You know, I've been eating this, you know, these same meals and doing these hard workouts and just getting bored of this. And you think, ah, you know what? I'm halfway through. I'm going to finish it off. So it keeps you going there. And then finally, as you get closer and closer to that deadline, you actually tighten things up a little bit because, you know, it's all over next Sunday. I'm going to, you know, be perfect all week long. And then I'm going to enjoy myself, you know, for one day and then stay back on track. And so that deadline spurs us to action all the time. So those are the five pillars: the better planning and preparation, professional accountability, positive social support, a meaningful incentive, and the big deadline.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really good structure for people to, again, I use the phrase to get anchored to, because I feel like that once you have those roots in the ground, those anchors from there, you have the ability to build and grow and overcome these things. And you make mention of overcoming anxiety with the five pillars, and you may not remember this, and I'll ask you how you did it, but the last time you and I saw each other was in an elevator in San Diego, riding up Hard after a business meeting. I was in the midst of a terrible anxiety attack on my way.
I could tell something was a little bit off because
we didn't even talk.
No, you were like, I thought, wait, he's gonna wanna hang out and chat, and now you were ready to get out of there.
Oh, aunt just needed to go and work through that process and using a very similar approach that you outline. But when you're in the midst of it, when it's an acute bout, it's a challenge for sure.
Oh yeah.
But I've done well with it the same way you have. I mean, there's always people, a lot of guys in this group have anxiety. So I'm interested to see how you were able to use those five pillars to overcome anxiety.
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, so many people mention it to me now that I talk about it on stage, that I'm writing my next book on it, Todd. And so that'll be out at Christmas time, and it's Overcoming the Black Box of Anxiety. And I can't wait to share it with people because I get text messages and Facebook messages from people in emergency rooms all the time just saying, I don't know what I'm going through right now, but I think, you know, you talked about it. So do you have any advice? So what I found was I needed to do better planning and preparation for my life. I was young. I had too much freedom. I actually suffered from what I call the paradox of freedom, which a lot of people think they want. They want to work whenever they want and do whatever they want, but we need structure in our life. And I didn't have any structure. And so when I suffered the anxiety, I realized, you know what, I need to do better planning and preparation. I need to have cut off time for my work. I need to do better planning and preparation about my nutrition. It was, you know, I was dropping down to like 75% good nutrition instead of 90% nutrition. I had to bring that back up. So that was better planning and preparation. Then I had to get professional accountability. Believe it or not, I had to learn how to breathe properly, which sounds crazy, but you know, most people actually breathe themselves into anxiety because they're breathing through their upper chest with short, shallow breaths. And when you do that, you increase the carbon dioxide level in your blood, and then that increases adrenaline in your blood, and that makes you stressed out. So I had to learn how to open up and breathe through my belly and big inhale through my nose and then big slow exhale when I was stressed out. And that came through yoga and meditation and Qigong and all these things that I signed up for that I didn't like, but I still went because I was paying. I was paying coaches. Yeah. I mean, I've learned to like meditate things yet. So anyways, I learned how to breathe properly through professional accountability. And then I had positive social support. Fortunately or unfortunately, I had some friends who had gone through anxiety as well. So they were always there to give me support, a meaningful incentive. Well, if anybody's ever had anxiety, meaningful incentive's built in right there. You just want to get rid of it because you don't feel normal. You can't concentrate. You can't engage in conversation when you're going through it. So it's a bit frustrating. And I call it a black box, which is why I think I'm going to have the anxiety, the overcoming the black box of anxiety as the title of my book, because you can't explain it to yourself and you can't explain it to anybody else because, you looked totally normal that day, Todd, and I looked totally normal the day that I asked one of my personal training clients to take me to the hospital. Yeah. But, he looked at me like I had two heads, but on the inside I was freaking out, but I couldn't explain it to him and I didn't really know what was going on with me. So I couldn't explain it to myself either. So I was totally, locked in this black box. And the meaningful incentive for me was to go and do all these things I didn't like yoga and meditation, because I needed this to be resolved. So eventually it did resolve after about 6 weeks. It was pretty tough for those 6 weeks, but I was able to overcome it. And the reason why I was turning over every rock to overcome the anxiety was because I had a big business deadline. My anxiety started in March. I got rid of it in the middle of May, and I had a big product launch in my business coming up in July. And I knew that was going to be stressful on its own. And I thought there's no way I could be stressed out by the launch and stressed out by this anxiety attack at the same time. I just won't be able to handle it. So I had that deadline in my head, and that spurred me to action. So those were the ways that I overcame it. And I hope that people listening will take some lessons away there, which is make sure that they get, good advice from somebody, that they learn how to breathe properly, that they lean on others for social support. I tell people, anybody going through anxiety, you are tempted to isolate yourself, but that's the worst thing that you can do. You need to go and talk to somebody. You need to get fresh air. You need to not hole up in a room, because that actually makes it worse. And even though you might be ashamed or embarrassed by it, you shouldn't be. If there's nothing physically wrong with you, if you get that checked out and your doctor says, hey, there's nothing physically wrong with you, that's okay. You're going to be okay. And just make sure that you're taking those steps, putting that stuff in place to overcome it.
Yeah, very important advice. I think when you talk about somebody to lean on, somebody you trust, because as we know, mental health in and of itself has a stigma. And even as an individual going through these things, you have those questions in your head. Am I going crazy? Am I dying? All of these kinds of different, very scary things. So it's nice to have somebody who's been through it, overcome it, provide, some kind of plan through their experience that people can take away and implement. And, part of that process is concentrating on what counts. But what I find is people don't even know how to figure out what counts. So how does someone even know what they should be focusing on in terms of what counts in their life?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so going back to what you mentioned, people are, what you kind of alluded to is that people are getting a little bit stressed out and by not knowing what matters. And a lot of us, we end up spending a lot of time looking at other people's lives and getting stressed out and thinking that, oh my gosh, their life is so much better than mine. And we do this comparison syndrome and it causes so much unhappiness and stress. And as I put together research for my book, we see that stress and anxiety and depression is going up and up and up and up. And it's probably because people are comparing themselves to others. There's so many other ways, through social media for people to get stressed out and think they're missing out on something. And that's because we are not concentrating on what counts, as you mentioned. So what I teach people to do is create a vision for their life, to set the right goals, and to be clear about what really matters. One of my favorite exercises at the start of my Perfect Life workshop, which is an extension of the Perfect Day formula, is where we just extract the values of somebody. And it's just what really matters to you for your family, your health, your wealth, and experiences. What do you want to achieve? in the next 20 years? You know, what would you be disappointed if it didn't happen? And nobody ever says, oh, I'd be disappointed if I didn't have $10 million. No, they say, I would be disappointed if I didn't spend quality time with my family. I'd be disappointed if I didn't experience, you know, more time with my grandkids or being there for my kids when they graduate, this, that, or the other thing. And so most people, that's what they, what really matters to them. But most of their energy goes into so many other things. And I use this little analogy or this little diagram showing that often most people's actions are misaligned with their goals. And if we use a very clear example from the weight loss world, you can see why this causes stress when things are not aligned. You know, Mrs. Jones comes to me and says, hey, Craig, I want to lose 20 pounds. Okay, great. Show me what you eat. And, you know, right away, you're going to see, like, if your goal is to lose 20 pounds and you're going to Starbucks and eating, you know, unicorn frappuccinos and espresso brownies, your goals and your actions are so misaligned. That's why you're stressed out. That's why you're not getting results. And it's the same with people who are stressed by anything in life. Hey, I want to have more time with my family. Oh, I'm working 12 hours a day and spending 2 hours in a commute back and forth to a job I hate. Oh, how misaligned is that? And you're going to be so stressed by everything. You're going to be stressed you're missing out. You're going to be stressed by work. You're going to be stressed by the commute. You know, it's time to take a step back and realize and identify what really matters to you and then probably make some important shifts in your life. So it all starts with identifying, hey, what really matters? We go through that exercise. We help those people understand what matters for their health, their wealth, their family, and their experiences. And then we start building the life for them and the perfect day for them. So they're still successful. I'm not asking people to drop out of the world, but you can still have an impact on the world. You can still make a good income and have more time for your family without ruining your life in this rat race.
That's great stuff. And I think you've hit the nail right on the head when you talk about vision and values alignment. So many people are chaotic as a result of not having that focus and those things married up, that you know, there's a lot of value when you get aligned, and it absolutely is transformative when you do that. And when I wrote a chapter of a book, I included you in there because I feel like your life exemplifies, and what I referred to back then was sniper-like vision, and focus on achieving your mission. So how have you used your vision to achieve exactly what you wanted in your life?
It's a great, great, great analogy you just used. And you know, I don't have as much experience with sharpshooting as you do, but I used this analogy the other day. I was working with a coaching client, and you know, she's trying to do a million things. And I used the analogy of, okay, I actually looked on Google and I found a target that had been shot at with a shotgun and then with a, you know, high-powered rifle. Yeah. And I said, you see all those little dots on the outside of the bullseye? That's your approach to life right now. You see those big holes in the center of the bullseye? That's from being laser focused on doing less, on saying no to things that are detours in your life. And she was like, oh, I get it. And so we just, you know, because a lot of women entrepreneurs, they're trying to do a million things. They get so much guilt about being a mom. They get so much guilt about being an entrepreneur. And so we just have to rein them in. And when you do that, and then you're able to create your vision and be very clear and concise about it, then you're able to say yes to what matters and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you on all the other stuff that doesn't matter, because you have to say no. Warren Buffett has a great quote. The difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything. And Warren Buffett spends 90% of his time sitting at a desk reading financial reports. He doesn't, you know, do a whole bunch of other things. He is so focused, and that's why he's so successful. So for me, I created a vision for myself back in 2006 when I hired my first coach, when I got that professional accountability to grow my business. And the very first question on the very first call, he said, Craig, what do you want your business to look like in 5 years from now? And I said, Tom, he was the name of my coach. I said, Tom, I want to have a business like Early to Rise, which was a website that helped people build their health, wealth, and wisdom. And then I went and became a better coach, a better speaker, a better writer, better everything. Started my own mastermind groups, started speaking, started teaching. And eventually, I was able to buy the business of my dreams, Early to Rise. And it was 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days after I first said, this is the business I want. So it was very, you know, it was like, I was 3 months and 17 days late. So let's not give me too much credit. But I did have that. It was almost like that law of attraction moment. But I use the phrase law of action attraction. You can't just sit in a chair and wish for things and expect them to show up. You can sit in the chair and envision things, and then you have to get your butt out of the chair and go do a bunch of things to get that vision to come true.
Absolutely. In that vein, what would you say has been your number one mistake in your career?
Easily, you know, it goes back to the coaching, easily not getting a coach earlier in my life. And I could have afforded one in 2003, but I was too cheap. You can see by my last name, I'm part Scottish. So it's too cheap to get a coach. I wasted 3 years. I could have had a greater impact. I could have written my books earlier. I mean, I don't know what I could have accomplished had I gotten that coach 3 years earlier, but that's what I should have done.
Okay, well, that's really good advice, and they do say that about those of us who are Scottish, short arms and deep pockets, right? So, all right. Well, I mean, I've taken up a fair bit of your time, so I wanna move this really towards a conclusion by just sort of a summary and maybe giving the listeners, just inviting them to take one action step that they can implement to take control of their time and own their day. What's the one action step that they can take?
Yeah, so we're going to go back to that second rule for your life, which is 15 minutes in the morning on your number one priority. It doesn't matter if it's an opportunity or a problem you have to solve, but if you went down to your kitchen table, no electronics, just pen and paper, and sat there and just did clear, uninterrupted thinking for those 15 minutes, you'll have big breakthroughs. And if you do that every single day, again, that's 6 days a week, that's 90 minutes a week, that's 72 hours in a year. It's like two full work weeks of working on your number one priority, and that's proactive, and that leads to success.
Yeah, that I can't stress enough how important things such as that are, and I appreciate you actually highlighting it and doing. When you do the math, you realize how productive you actually can be when you just carve out that very, very special time. So, thank you so much for that, and Craig, I know you are one of the busiest guys in this industry. And so I really, really appreciate you taking the time out to have this interview with me to convey your knowledge, to those who join me on Alpha Nation. I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun and good to catch up with you, Todd. And really great to speak to a group of high performers.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, that's it today from Alpha Nation. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and we'll be bringing you more content like this in the near future. Enjoy your day. Take care.